Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Yes, it does, in the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. We'll get to Tony Baselli from Raymond James Stadium. He's there for Thursday Night Football tonight for Westwood One. The Jags and the Chiefs coming up. Logs, what's up?
You know, I was just looking at Hollywood had the shot of the stadium up.
Yes, on Jaguars.com if you can watch live this program.
Yep. And inside of Everbank Field, both end zones say Navy.
It's a Navy home game.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
You know, there's two Navy bases here in town. I don't know if you heard about
that. Well, I do know that. Okay. There's three, one right up the road, too. Kings Bay,
so that's three.
But I didn't know that they would put Navy in both end zones. I thought maybe they would go one and one, but I'm glad to see that. That's good. It should be a home field game for the Navy. Yeah. And hopefully the turnout is strong for Navy.
Yeah, they said ticket sales are going pretty good, and I'm going Saturday. I'm pumped. 11:30 kickoff Saturday at Everbank. They just put in some new grass in the middle between the numbers there, all the way from the goal line to goal line this week.
Are you working in any capacity on Saturday?
No.
So you might have a few beverages with some
work
sailors.
In the parking lot. Before
good for you,
and then go inside.
Good for you.
A little morning football.
I haven't done that. I think the last time I ever tailgated for a game, I don't even want to say it was actually truly tailgating, but Virginia played Michigan in a bowl game here at Everbank Field a few years back.
So that would be the Gator Bowl, or what is now the Tax Slayer Bowl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one it was at the time, but that's the first football game that I've been to just to kind of watch as a fan in years.
I never get to do it anymore. You know, we're always working.
It feels pretty awesome. I was sitting up in the stands and having a few beers, you know, hollering at the officials, questioning coaching, just to do it.
Being a fan. Yeah. That's what fans want to do. We've
criticizing
that
the players.
This week.
Right. I didn't tweet to the players, but I was criticizing.
Well, you wanted
to. What are you doing in cover two?
You were tempted.
You got to get a jam on the line of scrimmage. Come on, 22.
Let's go, kid. I mean, but at the end of the day, college, a kid, they're kids. They're not pros.
They're not kids.
Most programs are not pros.
I don't like to call college athletes kids because you know what? When you're old enough to vote, you're old enough to fight for this country, you're not a kid.
Okay.
Young men.
Fair enough. There you have it.
Young men.
So, the pros, though, this week, the Jaguars are facing the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's a different-looking Chiefs football team. Foles gets to start at quarterback this week. Their running back situation is not ideal in Andy Reid's mindset, I'm sure. And they've got some offensive line issues this week. The Jags defense didn't put together a great performance last Thursday in Tennessee. So they need a bounce-back game. Could this be a bounce-back type of week for the Jags defense, considering everything that's going on in Kansas City?
Well, I think it can be for the Jaguars defense. Or defense, however you want to say the word.
Whatever.
But can it be a bounce-back game for the offense? That's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that.
No, I was asking
defense. It's not likely,
first.
But defense, yes, because, you know, the defense has played fairly well. You know, last week against the Tennessee Titans, I just think it was one of those situations to where for the last X number of weeks, you know, the Chicago game, you played your rear end off in that game. Kept that football team in the game, along with the punter, Brad Nortman, to allow them an opportunity to even be able to come back at the end of that ball game. And then you go against the Oakland Raiders, and the offense just did nothing.
Yep.
Right? Okay?
I remember.
And then a quick turnaround. Remember we talked about, okay, with the bad things that happened in Oakland, you saw the frustration start to set. And I think that frustration is due in large part to, you know, you want something back. You don't want to pat on the back or say, hey, good job by the coach. You want the offense to do something, you know, when you give them the ball, great field position, or you get a three and out.
Go down and score.
You know, you just want the offense to give you something. When the offense continually doesn't give you something, at some point or another, you know, the defense is going to falter. And I think that you saw part of that at the end of the Oakland game, okay? And then I remember we talked about it, and I said during the pregame of Thursday night, I wish you had a regular week to allow what happened in the Oakland game to simmer. to allow it to set in. And some other people, I think Tony said that he would like to, you know, get back on the field quicker on Thursday. But,
yeah.
but in that situation, you know, you want it to eat at the players. You want it to make them mad. Because, you know, a mad football team can play well sometimes. And to play, you know, on a quick turnaround, it obviously didn't go very well. The Tennessee Titans trounced this football team.
Yep.
And 27-0 at the half. And, you know, and then obviously the reaction is that, you know, people lose their jobs when things like that happen.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in depth tonight of that move.
But the defense can have success this week. They got a missing guard, starting guard. He's a rookie, so it's not that big of a loss, I don't think. And Nick Foles, I'm just telling you right now, you wouldn't have thought he was a backup if you watched the film. He was accurate. He was making throws, and I made the comment to somebody, I don't remember who it was, but they asked me how Nick Foles looked. He was making throws in that ball game, hitting the running back in stride on a little swing pass to where, remember we've talked about in the broadcast, and you've heard me and Tony talk about this, that Blake needs to start hitting people accurately on time, then allows the receivers to do things with the ball after the catch.
Run after catch. Yeah. Like Julius Thomas would be perfect with Yak. He's the Yak kind of guy.
Nick Foles was making some great throws to where the receivers could get Yak. And Nick Foles, I thought, looked sharper in that game than Blake Bortles has maybe all year. And so he's not a rookie. He's not an unproven guy. He's got a lot of starts under his belt. In fact, he's got 35 career starts. He's been a starter for a season before with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, so that's a challenge now. You know, is there a lot of drop-off? I mean, Alex Smith has more mobility than Nick Foles. Alex Smith has more experience than Nick Foles.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if Nick Foles' arm is not better than Alex Smith's arm.
And he's a big old boy. He's like 6'6".
Yeah, right? But, you know, 6'6", who cares? I mean, he's not going to run you over. But, I mean, as a passer,
he's tall.
You can see a little bit better. But he's not going to run. Trust me, he is not going to run. I just remember when he was the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Chip Kelly has that, you know, that fancy offense in to where the quarterback is always a threat to run. And I remember going, well, with Nick Foles, is there ever a threat of him to run? No. So, I mean, how can you actually – run that offense.
That's why he went to St.
Louis.
And be
effective.
Right? They got him down to St. Louis.
So, but he's an effective player. The running back situation, you know, Charkandrick West is obviously not Spencer Ware, and he's certainly not Jamaal Charles. So that's a significant drop off. But yes, the defense should be able to bounce back this week against the Chiefs. And I would be surprised if they did not bounce back after such a poor performance against the Tennessee Titans.
Kelce. Tight end, but as you said on the Gus Bradley show, they moved this guy all over the place. He's their leading receiver.
Well, they got to move him around because, you know what, JP doesn't want to block anybody.
Oh, he's one of those.
Oh, my God. Hmm. I mean, it's at the point of embarrassing to where he really doesn't want to block anybody.
There was
two plays.
I'll give you an example,
okay? He was split out to the right side, just slightly detached from the offensive line. And it was Robert Mathis has walked out on the next guy, and he's kind of closing in on the snap of the ball. And Travis Kelce literally shuffles slowly, like I can do at the age of 49, shuffles slowly and gets in front, but then makes no attempt whatsoever to make contact with Robert Mathis. And Robert Mathis goes right around him and crushes the running back. And I'm going, if I'm an offensive player and I'm seeing my teammate do that on film, I'm going to have a conversation with him because that was embarrassing. And then two other plays in the game, he's like that a lot. There were two plays in the game where he actually did make contact with somebody. It wasn't aggressive contact. It was more absorbing the contact, and it holds him up just for a slight second. And then the running back actually had, I don't remember which back it was, but it was two different runs, and the runs ended up being long. And he absorbs the guy. The running back goes by, and Kelce sees that the running back gets by, and he's doing this. His hands up in the air, pointing to the sky, like, I just got a great block. And I'm watching the film going, you caught the guy. You didn't block him. You just got in his way. But he's pointing to the sky. Looked like Jonathan Cyprian. Point to the sky. I got it. I got the block.
Wow. Have you seen the show Catching Kelce on the E! Channel?
No, what is that?
I haven't either. It's a reality show. It's on right now about Travis Kelce. 8 remaining women are vying for Kelce's heart. They have a weekly recap in the Kansas City Star.
What's the other TV show that's like that?
There's a bunch like that, right? Like Bachelor,
Bachelorette.
Similar idea, I think. I've never seen it, obviously. I don't watch that kind of crap.
Sure, JP.
But he's on a program.
Sure,
too.
JP.
So here's a question.
That's not what you told me last week when we weren't on Jaguars.com. Well,
I'm sure there are some real nice ones going for his heart, though. I'll tell you that.
JP's
might
not fooling me.
Hey, could Jalen Ramsey follow him around, or would he follow Macklin around?
No, I don't think.
Or is there one worthy of following around this week?
Well, here's the thing. Jeremy Macklin is the proven veteran, and he is an excellent player. He's proven. I don't think he has elite speed, deep ball speed. He has the ability to go deep at times with making the right move, and then the ball's being thrown in a nice spot. Tyreek Hill, the rookie wide receiver from not Roll Tide but West Alabama,
Are they the Lions? I can't remember. Go ahead.
Okay, look that up for me. Okay, and then turn that watching Kelce.
Watch Kelce catching Kelce.
Yeah, catching Kelce.
I'll let you know how the next episode goes.
But Tyreek Hill is the one who also is a legitimate deep threat. So I don't know if the last couple weeks Jalen Ramsey has flip flopped to the main guy. I don't think he'll do that this week.
West Alabama's the Tigers. North Alabama's the Lions.
Okay.
I was confused.
Yeah, he's a good football player now. Got deep speed, can run, can take the top off of a defense. They're getting creative and finding him ways to get the ball. And I would expect that the Chiefs and Andy Reid will get very creative this week because of the absence of Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles to kind of keep some of the pressure off of Sharkhandrick West carrying the load, even though they've activated Bishop Sankey. I think that Tyreek Hill will have some packages in there, whether it be quick screens, end arounds, lining up even in the backfield and getting a toss play. I would not be surprised one bit if they tried to feature him a little bit this week.
Kind of like what the Packers had done.
With Randall Cobb and those types of situations. Yeah. And the other one, I think Randall Cobb's not the only one for the Packers.
Yeah, there's a couple guys doing it now.
So. Yeah, I would not be surprised if you have some of that in there.
Interesting. Another wrinkle for the Jags defense to try to get ready for this week.
Well, I don't think it's anything you freak out about, but it's just, if he's lined up in a different spot, you better be aware. Yeah.
Tony Baselli's on the line with us now. We'll get a couple thoughts from you, Tony, before we head to our first break. We'll come back and talk offense. We've started, Tony, but first off, good evening, Tony.
Good evening. We had a little technical difficulties tonight. So.
It's okay. That's what happens down in Tampa sometimes, but we're glad you're with us. From Raymond James Stadium, Thursday Night Football tonight. Jaguars defense is where we've started tonight, Tony, against this Chiefs offense. And it's a defensive group that didn't put together a great performance a week ago in Tennessee. They've got to bounce back. Foles as a quarterback, what do you see out of Nick Foles? He's going to make the start this week.
Well, listen, he's a guy who, isn't your typical backup because he's been a starter, and it's not, they're going to have full confidence to go in there and do all the stuff that they typically do. He understands Andy Reid's offense from being in Philly with him. So, I think they're probably going to be pretty much full go. And confident with him back there. I'm not sure is it a little bit of a drop-off? Yeah, because Alex Smith's playing good football, but I don't think it's a huge drop-off where you typically see from the starter to the backup.
I made his comment, Tony, that I think, or in my opinion, I don't know if he's a better quarterback than Alex Smith. I think he has a better arm than Alex Smith.
Yes.
And some of the throws that he made against the Colts where he was hitting people in stride, and particularly there's a couple swing passes that he hit the running back in stride that I don't know if Alex Smith does that. Blake Bortles has been struggling to do that, but, it was flawless, some of his throws.
And it's not just the quarterback. I mean, we all remember, unfortunately, too well, last Thursday night in Tennessee came out and ran the ball. And a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. Well, the Chiefs will do the same thing. They'll put 2-3 tight ends out there. They'll try it out, leverage it, and they're going to run the ball and be aggressive and play action passed off of it. So, and they're going to turn on that tape from last Thursday, and they're going to see some deficiencies in certain areas, and they're going to attack it. And Jeff, you know as well as I do as a player, if you put something on tape that is not good, they're going to attack that until you have an answer and show that you can
see
stop
if you
it.
Cleaned it up.
Yeah,
way it works.
Guarantee that.
In the NFL.
So you know, and one of the main area that they struggled in, and Tony's right with the tight end personnel, is when they do that, and then the gaps that you're adding more gaps to the formation, and then the gap that ends up having to be responsible at some juncture is the cornerback. And the cornerback in the perimeter of the Jaguars' defense, Prince Amukamura did not play well in the run. Jalen Ramsey did not play well in the run. Aaron Colvin did not play well in the run. The corners overall did not do and fare very well at Tennessee.
So. Oh, I agree 100%. And I was shocked, especially when you talk about Colvin and Jalen Ramsey. Those are two guys who've proven, Colvin throughout his career and Ramsey early in this year, that they're not afraid to come up and play the run. And it was just a lack of discipline and a lack of being aggressive to hold that edge and create an edge at that point and turn everything back in. And that has to be better. They will try to expose that, and they'll try to take advantage of the corners and make them come up and play the run. Until they do, they're going to keep coming at it.
All right, Bo, stand by. We're going to come back and break down this Jaguars offense after all the changes this week. Limited tickets available for next week's game against the Houston Texans here at Everbank. It's the annual Salute to Service game. To purchase tickets, visit Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman in Jacksonville. Tony Boselli is on the line at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa for Thursday Night Football. Jaguars Thursday continues. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. New offensive coordinator. Quarterback brought his personal quarterback coach in this week, Monday and Tuesday. Gus Bradley said that Blake Bortles had a really good practice Wednesday and Thursday, both days.
He said he looked like he's tightened some things up.
Which was
the
idea.
Didn't overreact or anything, but, you know, it's all those things that you mentioned are not good signs. You know, coordinator fired, quarterback is bringing in, you know, an outside consultant to work with them. Not good. I mean, that's not what you want to see after seven games.
No. Listen, I'm fine with the Blake Bortles bringing in his own guy. I think there's nothing wrong with it. I wish they wouldn't have announced it. I wish it had kept it on the down low. I mean, because I think it just adds more, you know, speculation and talk around Blake. I think it's the right thing for him to do if it's going to help him get more confidence and tighten things up or whatever it is. Even if it doesn't mean anything, sometimes just making a change or doing something, changing your routine, I mean, who knows what it is, can get you, you know, a little more clear-headed. I hate it for him, I guess, more than anything, that it needed to get out into the media that he did it, because I think it just adds more conversation.
He offered it up.
Yeah, it was him.
No, I know. I'm not saying it was. I'm not blaming anyone. I think it would have been better if it did not.
I would agree with you. Yeah. But you know what? I appreciate his honesty. You know, and I give Blake a lot of credit. I mean, through the struggles that he's had this year, he has never, you know, balked at any questions, has stood up, answered anything that anybody would ask. And so I give him credit for that. He's got to play football.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger thing is, obviously, is this story about Greg Olsen being let go and Nathaniel Hackett becoming the offensive coordinator, and what does that mean for this offense, and what does it do?
What do you honestly think about that? What impact does that have?
Well, that's to be determined. I do think that watching this offense, and then especially the last three games, even though one of them was a win against Chicago, it lacked any rhythm, any identity. And I'm not putting this all on Greg Olsen by any means. It's on the whole offensive staff, and it's on every player. And it did not look like it was getting better. It looked like it was getting worse all the way around. with the accumulation of that Tennessee game kind of being the, you know, the bottom of the pit as far as just going down. And what you hope for is that the change, and, you know, unfortunately when you're at the top, and as Greg Olsen was, sometimes you're the one who gets the axe, even though you're not, you know, it's not all your fault, but you're ultimately responsible. And bringing Nathaniel Hackett, and there's maybe a little more energy, and there's an urgency felt by everybody on that staff and the players, because the head coach just let the guy who was leading it let him go, and now it's like everyone's on notice, and like, we better get our stuff together, everyone in this entire unit, and figure this out. So I'm not sure, you know, we'll see what the ultimate result is. My guess is that if you're Nate Hackett, you go in there and you look at what you're doing. He's going to have his own personality. He's going to put his own spin on things and his own type of his mark on it. And I think the prudent thing is you look at the entire game plan of what you do well, what you don't do well, and you come in and you pare it down to what you think you can be successful at and go from there. I think sometimes that's easier for someone new to come in and do that. I think sometimes it's hard for everybody. It's just human nature. This isn't on Greg Olsen, but human nature, it's hard sometimes to be able to go in there and when you're in the middle of it to make some of those changes.
Yeah, I like Greg. I consider him a good friend.
I do too.
You know,
yeah, I like Greg
and
a lot.
It's unfortunate, but you know, that's the business, and everybody knows that that's what you sign up for when you coach in the National Football League. I'm going to miss the hair.
Yeah.
He's always got the, you know, he's got the hair, you know, slick back, you know, the Pat Riley kind
of
look.
Oh,
a bunch
of show offs, all this hair everywhere around here. I don't understand.
Well, I hate it because, I mean, like you, Jeff, he's a friend, and I don't like anyone losing their job and getting fired. And I know,
the worst part
because I still think it didn't work out. I still think he's a good football coach. And you don't always say that about guys who get fired.
No.
But he's a good football coach.
No, and the worst part is, I think probably the frustrating part, I'm sure, for Greg, is that, you know, when you get fired in that situation, you didn't get the chance to fix it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's hard. That's hard to take. You know, when you let go at the midpoint. I mean, if it happens at the end of the season, you probably, I don't want to say you take it any better, but it would probably be easier to stomach. But you know, when it's in the middle of a season, you feel like, hey, look, you feel responsible. You feel like you can help, and you certainly want to be able to correct, you know, things and make them good. Then you don't have that chance. So that's tough. That makes it tough in that situation.
We've, I believe, talked the run game to death, or lack thereof, but Nate Hackett's one of the first things he said this week. He wants to get back in there and get back involved in the run game more. He's been obviously with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, of course. I mean, because the quarterback right now stinks.
Yeah, that's the quarterback's best friend is a run game. That's what he said.
I mean, when the quarterback is struggling, then you try to get a running game. And that's the only way you do it. You know, I mean, you can't sugarcoat it. I mean, Blake right now stinks, and he's struggling. And can he be better?
I'd probably use struggling more than stinks.
Well, look, struggling stinks.
Good players can struggle.
I think Pete Prisco just showed up in the studio, Tony.
I'm not trying to make it over more than what it is. He's struggling. There's no doubt. He's struggling to the point where, I mean, look, when you bounce the ball at four yards in front of A-Rob on the one play.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a bad throw. Okay.
Yes.
You can't say that throw right there, he really struggled on. What would you say on that throw?
It's a bad throw.
No, I understand that, but I guess my point is I watch Blake and it's the easiest thing to do is to put it all on him, and I just don't think it is all on him.
No, it's not all on him. And look, I'm not saying that he stinks and that's who he is. But right now, when you're in a funk and you're struggling, okay, and you don't seem to have really anything that you can grasp and hold on to, I mean, you're in a tough spot. You're in a tough spot. And he needs to find a way to fight out of it. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because the running game has been struggling. And, Tony, I don't know if you would agree with me or not, but, you know, when you watch over the last couple weeks, and I think this is a result of the quarterback has been struggling, but you watch some of the routes, and I thought that there's a lack of urgency and execution on the routes that has kind of faltered. Because the quarterback is struggling, you start to see a little regression in the performance of others.
But, Jeff, that can't be. And I agree with you, though. I mean, I think you're right. I see the same thing. But that's an indictment on each guy who does that. I mean, your job as a receiver, and I had this conversation with a player, and I said, listen, it's the job of each position to go do their job. And so if you're a receiver, when it's a pass play, your job is to go run that route full speed and correctly, no matter what the quarterback does. That's your job. If you're an offensive lineman, your job is to block the guys in front of you. If you're a running back, your job is to make a decisive cut and hit the dang hole. And the job of the quarterback is to distribute the ball correctly and get everyone the right play. And the only way you fix this offensively, and, you know, I'm a big believer. I think Nate Hackett's a good coach, and I like his energy, and I think he has proven to have success. He did a good job in Buffalo. But no matter who the offense coordinator is, the quickest way to fix anything is everyone to stop worrying about everybody else and go do your dang job. And so whatever position that is, whatever position group, don't worry about the dang quarterback. You're not the quarterback. Let the quarterback worry about playing quarterback.
Well, yeah, that's the way it's got to be. You got to start there.
It was interesting, Tony. You go back to 96 and Mark wasn't struggling to the extent that Blake is. Our team, we were struggling, trying to find a way to find wins. And we had a conversation with Brad Nortman, the punter, because, you know, the Carolina Panthers, what were they, like 7-8-1 the year before last?
Yep.
When they ran a Super Bowl run, and what were they, 14-0 after 14 games? And posed the question to him, what changed? You know, was there a defining moment? Was there anything from the year before to the Super Bowl run year that you could, you know, grab a hold of? You know, and he said no. And he said, you know, we also, you know, we make a play. And then another guy makes a play, and then Ron Rivera, you know, Riverboat Ron got his thing. He gambled for it on that one play. They make it. And he said, and it just kind of started to roll. And I think it's probably a lot of the same things with us in 96. We weren't consciously, there was nothing said. There was nothing, so no defining moment or anything. We just started to play. And then when we had success, another successful play would follow, and then all of a sudden it just starts getting rolling. Same thing with the Carolina Panthers. And I'm not saying that this team's going to get on a roll and end up in the playoffs, but they've got to find a way to have success. And to have success, you got to start to get on a roll and start piling play after play, positive plays that affect the outcome of the game. And we'll see if they can do that.
You know, I agree with you, because I look at this roster, and I wouldn't have said this in the past, but I think this roster has good football players on. But they're not playing well right now. And so it's not that it's not fixable. It's not that they can't win ball games. It's not that they can't play better. I believe they can. But the most dangerous thing you can do, and we've all been there, when, you know, it's not going well, the easiest thing to do is look around and say, man, if they played better, or if they, you know, it's the play calling, or it's the quarterback, or the running backs are running hard, or the linemen aren't blocking, or whatever it is. You can pick your poison. And I think the teams that have success, the teams that get out of a funk, yes, it's you find a way to make a play, and the momentum, you know, kind of snowballs, and you get going. But everyone just, I'll go back to what I said before, just worry about yourself at some level. Just go do your job. Go, you know, and that was one of the things that I think that, you know, good teams I've been on in the past, that you had a bunch of guys that just went out and played. They weren't worried about a bunch of other crap. They weren't worried about who was doing what or who wasn't doing what. Just go out and do your job and see how it shakes out by the end of it.
We'll come back in a moment and talk about Thursday night football. And, Tony, I didn't excuse me.
Are you okay, JP?
I'm going to hang in there.
Look. Watch out
there?
For Cincinnati Colts now. See,
that's
payback from the Cincinnati Colts.
That's what I get for calling him out earlier, Tony. We didn't get your picks before the show, Tony, so you want to do picks when we come back?
Yeah, let's do picks when we come back, and we'll talk briefly about the game tonight.
That sounds like a plan with Tony Vaselli and Jeff Loggeman, JP Shadrick. It's Jaguars Thursday, easy for me to say, on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah. Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli is down in Tampa. Jaguars Thursday continues. Hey, Tony, have you ever watched Catching Kelce on E Channel?
What?
Catching Kelce on the E Channel.
I don't think I've ever watched the E Channel. Oh. So no.
Well, it's a reality show with Travis Kelce, starring Travis Kelce. 50 eligible women, one from each state, in the hopes of finding his one true teammate. They all compete for his heart.
That's dumb.
It's like The Bachelor.
Only eight contestants remaining, Tony.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Going through some of these contestants right now.
JP is checking out the ladies.
Taking a look. Maybe I'll watch E for the first time. Who knows?
Where we stand on the picks?
Well, let's see here. Last week, 2 weeks ago, week seven, didn't pick last week because we had Thursday night football. Jeff Lagerman led the way.
Thank you very much.
8-5-1.
I'll take it.
Tony, you and I were 7-6-1. For the season, I'm 40-31-1. Jeff, 38-33-1. Tony has only picked for 3 weeks. He's 25-16-1. I don't know the percentage of that because I'm not a math guy.
Not at all even. Pretty close.
I would tell you right now that Tony is in the lead.
Wow, why?
Yeah.
He's 25-16-1, JP. Do the math, for God's sake.
I'm not a math. I just told you. I'm not a math guy.
Well, I'm not a math guy either, but I can figure that out.
That's great. Okay, you know what? Let's pick some games then. How about it? Week 9. Let's start with tonight's game. Tony, you have the call tonight. Falcons, the Buccaneers. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going with the Falcons.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the Bucs went to overtime with Oakland last week. Probably could have won.
Their defense played 93 plays. The Tampa Bay defense did, and they have to turn around in a short week. And all they have to do is now figure out how to stop the number one total offense in the NFL and the number one scoring offense in the NFL. So that's it. That's tough duty right there.
Yeah, that's not going to be easy for them. You know, it's kind of a it's a battle with coaches that have a lot of familiarity with themselves. Jack Del Rio, Oakland. You know, Dirk Cutter was his offensive coordinator here. Mike Smith was the defensive coordinator here.
Oh, yeah.
Now the defensive coordinator in Tampa. You know, so a little bit of a chess match tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
Those guys have worked together.
Who you got then, Jeff?
I'm going Falcons. You're going Falcons?
Yep.
I want to pick Smitty because you know how I am about Smitty.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take him. I'm taking Smitty.
All right, good.
I'm not taking Dirk. I'm taking Smitty.
Okay, so we're all taking the Falcons, so that's clear.
No, he's taking Tampa, you
JP.
Idiot.
Oh, my bad.
Smitty is
the defensive coordinator for the Bucs.
It's been a while since camp. Sorry, okay?
You've been watching too many Cincinnati Colts games or what?
Whatever. Yeah. Okay, you're going the lone wolf Buccaneers.
You tried me earlier. Now you're in trouble.
Get through this dang segment here. Steelers 4-3 at the Ravens. I'll take the Steelers. Thank you very much.
Steelers.
Clean sweep. Cowboys at the Browns. That's probably a sweep also.
I don't know.
You're calling a Browns upset, Jeff.
I don't know.
Are you calling?
I'm taking the Browns. I think this is an upset.
Oh, my.
Okay, good. That's good for you. I like that.
We'll gain a game.
I'm trying to pick one up.
Thanks. Jets at the Dolphins, AFC East.
Dolphins.
Yep, all of us. Lions at the Vikings. I'll take the Vikes.
I'll take the Lions.
The offensive situation's not great for them.
Yeah, the Lions.
I can't believe that Norv Turner resigned.
Yeah, that's weird, huh?
Has anything come out why?
Tony, figure this out, okay? What was it, the week before that Mike Zimmer called his offensive line soft when he was playing a bunch of guys that shouldn't even be playing and called out his football team, and then you got an offensive coach on staff that was Shermer, who was a former coordinator and obviously a guy that Sam Bradford knew pretty well. And Norv Turner, I think, probably felt – that Mike Zimmer was being a little carried away last week, and with the Shermer thing on the staff and everything, probably said, you know what, I've got too many years in the league, and I don't need this for my retirement. I'm done. Bye.
Yeah.
You know, the amazing thing is they were 5-0, and people saying the best team in the NFL just 3 weeks ago.
Right.
They come off a bye and two losses, and now it's a mess.
Yep.
So who you got, Tony? Who'd you take there?
Lions.
Yeah. And you took the Vikings.
I took the Vikings because I think they're going to fight through it.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick two up there.
I'm going to gain a game on you guys. Eagles at the Giants. I'll take the Eagles.
I'm going to take that's a tough one.
I'm going Giants.
They're home.
They're coming by.
Okay. Panthers at the Rams.
Panthers.
I'm going L.A.
I'm with you, Tony. I am with you. The Saints at the Niners. Saints all day for
Saints.
Me.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Is it?
No, Saints.
Come on. Talking
that's
about
not a tough one.
Crazy. Colts at the Packers.
Packers. A defining game Chuck Pagano talked about. And you know what it's going to define?
Yeah.
They're not very good.
Yeah. Titans at the Chargers.
Chargers.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I like the Chargers too.
I'll take Exotic Smash Mouth on the road. How about that? Sunday Night Football, the Broncos and the Raiders AFC West Showdown.
Where's that game?
Black hole. Raiders at home for me.
Go ahead, Tony.
But I'm going to go Denver.
Of course you are. You're from there.
No, but you know what? Because you know the Raiders had that big win against Tampa, and with all the yards and everything, you realize that with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they had just over 300 yards of total offense, and they had like 200 and some odd yards
in overtime.
In the last 2 minutes on their 2 minute drive. I mean, they only scored 3 points in the first half against Tampa. I mean, Tampa was controlling that game. And if it wasn't for a fourth down defensive holding call against Tampa Bay when they stopped the Raiders, but the official called defensive holding, the game's over. So, I mean, they're a little misleading statistically. I think Denver, that defense, gets after the Raiders.
I'm taking Oakland.
All right, Jeff, you're with me, finally. Smart man. Bills at the Seahawks on Monday night.
Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, clean sweep there. All right. The picks are in. We'll have an update again next week. How about the Jags and the Chiefs? Tony, can the Jags bounce back?
Yeah, it's tough sledding. Now, the Chiefs have their own issues with injuries. We talked about the quarterback. It looks like Spencer Ware is going to be out as well. They put Jamal Charles on IR, so they're going to be a little thin at the running back position, but I think the defense will come out. I think the defense was embarrassed against Tennessee, and I think that they have a lot of good players with a lot of pride. I think they'll come out and play really well. I just don't know what to even make of the offense. I have no idea what to expect.
I don't either. I really don't. I know what to expect out of the defense. You know, strong response. Can the defense score?
That would be nice.
They got to get some turnovers.
Yeah, get a turnover
they
first.
Get turnovers.
Yeah.
Last in the league in takeaways right now. This is not going to be an easy game, and it's a tough place to play. The Kansas City, the sea of red that they have, the Chiefs fans are awesome.
They've won 9 straight at home, by the way.
And that is, in my opinion, it is the toughest place to play in the outdoors. And I'm putting Seattle in that category now. Kansas City, I think, is harder to play when they're rolling than Seattle.
Wow.
Well, I think it's all – you can put Seattle, Kansas City,
Buffalo
Denver,
when they're rolling.
Denver, New England, and Baltimore all in one category, and it's all miserable places to play if it's not going well.
Kansas City, I think, is number one.
Yeah, they're up there. 142 decibels. That's a Guinness World Record.
Back in 14.
Yep.
And they used to reach – I don't know exactly what the decibel level, but back in the day when it was, you know – Neil Smith, Derek Thomas, Christian Okoye, Marty Schottenheimer, whether it be Joe Montana, Dave Craig, you know, whoever was quarterback,
right.
And it didn't matter.
Yeah, no.
And they were playing some good football now. That place was rocking.
Well,
I'm excited for this thing, though, in the sense of I'm excited to see who the offense is. I mean, we don't have no idea what a Nathaniel Hackett offense looks like.
Here's the thing, Tony. You know, have we figured out what the offense is after 7 games?
Well, I think that's one of the problems.
Yeah,
and so I'm looking forward to seeing if there's an identity with Hackett calling the plays.
Tony, enjoy the best press box food in the league in Tampa.
Oh, I've already taken advantage of it, boys. I can't stop. It's unreal how good the food is. Unreal.
It's over the top each and every week in Tampa. Tony, have a great call on Westwood One tonight.
All right. See you, Jeff and KC.
Gotcha, brother. Here he is, Tony Buscelli, joining us from Kansas. No. He's going to be in Kansas. He's in Tampa. He's in Tampa, Florida. He's in Tampa. He'll be in Kansas City later this weekend, as will the Jaguars.
Hey, that's what you get.
Yeah, that's great. What was the decibel level in Charlottesville?
I'm just
asking a question.
In the Gus Bradley Show, I called the Indianapolis Colts, the Cincinnati Colts, and JP was you know,
chirping during the break.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You were giving me a hard time, right?
Like a Cobra.
Over there chuckling. Thought it was funny sitting on the couch, you know, being a peanut gallery guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I roll.
That's payback.
Hey, karma.
Karma.
Karma's a big.
It is karma for you tonight, JP.
It's a problem. Yeah, we'll come back. We'll wrap this thing up. Preview a little more Sunday's game in Kansas City, Missouri at Arrowhead Stadium.
You're sure on that, right?
We'll see.
Okay.
Let me think about it. We'll come back. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name this year. The Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank. Saturday for Navy Notre Dame, and next week for the Jaguars and the Texans. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Got to also mention the McKenzie's Run is coming up. The 7th annual event, a 5K run and walk and a 1 mile fun run November 19th here at Everbank Field. Jacksonville and the Roar will be there.
You going to be there?
No, I believe I have some other work that day, actually. College football work going on.
I got you.
Yeah. Won't be there. But participants finish inside the stadium and appear on the world's largest video boards. Benefits the Mackenzie Noel Wilson Foundation. Their mission is to help young people recognize their full potential. Visit mackenziesrun.org to register.
The key to getting on the video board there, finishing.
Yeah. You got to finish.
You got to finish.
That's right. Now, I finished the last one, just for the record. Okay,
I was just checking.
All right, this is from the Kansas City Star by Melissa Graham. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce resumed his journey to find love this week by enlisting the help of a crew of massage therapists and nail technicians. The 8 remaining women vying for Kelce's heart received complimentary massages and manicures from the professionals. And don't think for a minute Kelce didn't get in on the action. "I don't even know what's happening right now," Kelce said as he admitted he was receiving his first nail treatment. The peace and relaxation of the pampering is quickly interrupted, however, by the topic of Maya's relationships with the other women in the house. Kelce questions Maya about the drama that seems to follow her, and she plays it off as jealousy. "Her confidence has gotten a little too high, and it's getting kind of arrogant," Kelce said. When the women confront Maya about her attitude, she claims she was misunderstood. "I made a statement that got misconstrued," Maya said. So you can read the rest if you want. KansasCity.com. Catching Kelce on E! Entertainment Channel. Apparently last night, because this is today's story. I know you're going to watch next week, Logs. I mean, you're locked in. The Jags are trying to catch Kelce this week. That's the issue. What's wrong with that? I thought you wanted a little more detail. I can read more.
You really just wasted 2 minutes of our show.
The Party Rock Mansion, home to LMFAO's Red Foo and a ton of loud music and liquor. Who wouldn't want to watch that? Loud music, liquor.
I'd rather watch the political campaign ads than that.
Well, you only have a few days
left. And that's like wearing me out.
You only have a few days for that. They were all here today, by the way. I mean, Barack Obama.
Did you get that topic approved by Hollywood back there?
No,
so that he could have some matching video for Jaguars.com?
Yeah, that's my bad. I kind of went off the cuff there, ad lib there a little bit. But so
I'm telling you, folks, that JP, every break in this show since you found out about that television show, you've been doing is looking at these girls that are on ladies that are on the show.
It's Catching Kelce is the name of the program, okay? And they're vying for his heart. Just remember that, Jeff. Have some respect, okay? the Jags and the Chiefs this week. In the grand scheme of things, if you call him a tight end, where does he rank in NFL tight end in your book? Gronk's one, obviously.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham, I think, is you know, probably a better player. I mean, he's probably top six, somewhere in there. He's not better than that. Good player, but he's not – I don't think he's – I mean, I consider – I mean, if you look at the tight ends, who else you got? You got Gronk, Jimmy Graham, even though he's not completely back. He's still an excellent player. Who else we got in the league? I'm trying to think of the tight end. The rookie tight end in San Diego might be playing as high of a level as Kelce is.
Greg Olsen, Panthers.
Great player.
Delanie Walker.
Delanie Walker veteran. Is probably one of the most underappreciated tight ends in the league. And I don't know if Kelce's better than him.
Yeah. Witten?
Nah, Witten's slowing down. I mean, he's slowing down a little bit.
But, yeah.
No, I mean, he's –
Oh,
he's
Jordan Reed.
Right,
yeah.
He's right there, yeah. You know, right around the edge, the cusp of elite. But – when you watch him, he runs very good routes, and they use him in a very unique way. And does that make him – is it the player, or is it the system, or is it the way that they use him? I think it's a little bit of both. He's a good player. But I think Andy Reid also has a very good system for the tight end. And I think they utilize him in a lot of ways that he can take advantage of. If you put that tight end in another team's offense, is he all that? No, probably not. But I mean, he's in their offense, so he's a weapon.
Fourth year for Andy Reid in Kansas City, and it's funny how things can change. You know, they kind of ran him out a little bit in Philadelphia there. Then the next few years didn't go like they had quite planned it in Philadelphia. They had it going pretty good for a long time there, and he just kind of drifted away there.
Yeah, he was there for what?
14 years.
13 years.
Yeah, a long time.
14 years.
It tells you fast it can change, though. If you think things are going downhill, they may or may not. In the grand scheme, that might not have been the best.
Well, I mean, Andy
Reid
got criticized because he couldn't win the big one.
Yeah, I mean,
It's same type of situation. You just keep chipping away, and sooner or later, you're going to get a win. But Andy Reid's a good football coach.
Yes,
I mean, very good football coach, and he's highly respected around the league. He has a very good coaching staff, always has. He's got a very loyal, trusted group of guys, and the ones that have been with Andy, most of them, they don't leave Andy. You know, he's been that good for that long. So it's a challenge. I mean, he's a good football coach. You know, he's not in the category of Bill Belichick. You know, Belichick is kind of in his own category, I think.
Yeah, he's won the big one multiple times.
Yep. So, but it'll be a challenge. Bob Sutton, our defensive coordinator, is a good defensive coordinator. You know, and they're not even hitting on all cylinders yet on defense. You know, they're taking the ball away, but they don't have all their parts yet. You know, when they get Justin Houston back at some point, not sure how effective he's going to be coming back from an ACL, but, you know, at some point they're going to get him back. And he is an elite player, no question, when he's healthy. No question. So, but it'll be a very interesting matchup. Dee Ford versus Jeremy Parnell in pass protection.
Yeah. Ford's hot right now. 3.5 sacks last week.
The one thing that Dee Ford does that concerns me a little bit with that matchup is that Dee Ford changes directions very well in his pass rush. And that's something that Parnell, I don't want to say he struggled at, but that might be if there was one weakness, one area that he had a little bit, he would have a little bit of weakness, it's the change of direction stuff. So I think that the matchup on the other side, Beecham and Tom Bahali, I'm not concerned about that. I think Beecham will do fine. Tom Bahali has slowed down a little bit. Beecham is obviously still working his way back from an injury, but I think he can handle him.
Sounds good.
Linder versus Don Terry Poe in the run game. Not so much the pass game because Don Terry Poe's not a great pass rusher. He's okay. But the run player he is, he's a very good football player.
We'll see what the Jags offense has this week. We'll find out in a hurry against this Kansas City Chiefs defense. Jeff, well done. We'll talk to you this weekend.
Gotcha, JP.
For Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening and watching on Jaguars.com. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.